Hi, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Lives of Courage podcast with me, Jessica Stong, where we delve into the compelling world, I think, of courage, resilience, parenting, emotional health, faith, all the fun things, right? I'm your host, as always, Jessica. And today, I'm excited. We're going to unpack a critical aspect of mental wellness using the healthy mind platter conceptualized by everybody knows my boyfriend, Dr. Daniel Siegel, the second love of my life, and Dr. David Rock. It's time to learn how to feed our minds for optimal health. I'm so excited. So let's jump in. Okay. I want to really discuss the way that we can nourish our mind, just like we nourish our body, to achieve wellness, emotional wellness, whole body wellness, and really to thrive mentally, just as we do physically, we need a balanced diet of activities that keeps our mind in shape. And that's where they develop the healthy mind platter and where it really comes in. There are seven essential activities that foster a well-nourished mind, similar to how a balanced meal caters to our body's nutritional needs. I love to think about this and really explore what this looks like. You guys are gonna, as you know, as you guess, get a homework assignment. But so much of our life is spent running. I don't know if you're anything like me, but oftentimes I push aside things that I know make me feel good because I don't have time. And I just can't figure out what good it does. But I want to really discuss this idea of interpersonal neurobiology, and that's an easy term to say. But it's this embodied and relationally embedded process that regulates how our energy and information flows in our system. Really, it's just that our minds are interconnected with our bodies and our relationships with others and God. And so there's this great idea and the work that Dr. Daniel Siegel does and Dr. Kurt Thompson. You guys have heard me both. But how much I love them. But there's all these great theories, right? And I love to stay in the world of theory. If I can keep it in my head and not actually then have to live it out, it feels less difficult, right? But I want to talk about how this translates into our living, how we live. What practical habits can we build to support our emotional well-being, our mental well-being? What activities can we do to strengthen the integration within our bodies, within our minds, within our relationships, within our understanding of our spiritual realm? And that's where we really come back to this healthy mind platter. And this is a daily guide. So these seven essentials, we want to try to get into our day, our week, our experience. It's like these nutrients for our bodies to nurture our minds. We can incorporate these into our routines, enhance our mental integration, and thereby, right, cultivate a healthier mind. And so let's focus on the seven activities that serve as nutrients for our minds. And most of you guys are doing these. Some of these, but maybe not every day. So let's talk about each activity one by one, and then I'm going to give you some ideas of how to incorporate these into your life. So number one is sleep. We know this. I get emails from a sleep doctor. I've watched on Masterclass. I've read books. Like, we know sleep is important. But if you're someone like me who struggles with anxiety, you might have a partner or spouse that snores in bed. You might have children that wake you up or animals that fight on your bed and wake you up. I'm just, spitting out some ideas from my real life. Sleep is hard, but we know it's important. So, and we know, like, yes, getting quality sleep is vital for optimal cognitive function, emotional well-being, and overall mental health. So great. We know that we need sleep, right? And that's an essential component. The second essential component is physical time. And that's physical activity. It's beneficial for physical health. But I remember sitting in, it was like Psych 101. It wasn't, but just it's easier to say Psych 101, right? And the psychologist was presenting and he was saying far more than any antidepressant studies, anything that they're doing, and this is 20 years ago, we know that exercise plays the biggest difference. And so exercise, physical time, it releases endorphins, reduces stress, boosts moods, going for a walk, practicing yoga, finding ways to move your body in a way that nurtures you. So I want you to explore what physical time, what moving your body would look like for you in a way that feels good and what that looks like. We know that we need 150 to 180 minutes of movement. And for those of you that know my story, my movement looks different than someone who doesn't have an autoimmune condition, but we make it work. Activity number three is focus time. I love this. And this is the hardest piece for me. In our hyper-connected world, filled with distractions, text alerts, finding time for focused attention and what that is like and what that does to our brains, it's challenging. But it involves what they describe here. It involves engaging in activities that require undivided attention, such as reading a book without multitasking, working on a project, solving a puzzle without multitasking. This really helps improve our cognitive abilities, enhances our creativity, cultivates a sense of accomplishment. Even if your focus time is doing your morning download, you're focusing on one activity. We've built this into our days. We build this in to the way that we see. If you guys know and have followed me, you know I love the Pomodoro technique. And so what we're doing is cultivating focus time and what that looks like. And that isn't like getting dinged by incoming emails. It's just really focus. Okay. So activity number four is time in. And time in refers to carving out moments of quiet and reflection. Okay. So the example I used earlier about the morning download really shouldn't have been in my focus section, but you can combine things. So you don't, it's not, you know, you don't have to do seven different activities. Some can be combined. So time in is really self-awareness, self-reflection, meditation, deep breathing, journaling, yoga, sitting, centering prayer, calming our minds, reducing our stress, gaining insight into our thoughts and emotions. That's time in. We need that every day. I love that. Activity number five. I love this. And I have to say that this, I think, is the hardest for me. I'm just going to say it. And it's playtime. Just as children need playtime to develop, adults also benefit from engaging in playful activities. Playtime includes hobbies, creative pursuits, anything that brings joy to you and allows us to express ourselves freely. I read a book about play for adults, and I am doing a separate episode on that, so stay tuned. But just by you bringing in that play, that element of fun, we step outside of our like never-ending to-do list and the responsibilities and the overwhelming worry and fatigue and cognitive overload. And we're really allowing ourselves to exist despite all of that, because of all of that. And so playtime's real super important. Activity number six is connecting time. I love this. Human connection is a fundamental aspect of our well-being. We need to spend quality time with our loved ones, friends, engaging in meaningful conversations that nourishes our minds and provides a sense of belonging. So much, and I'm embarrassed to say, so much time I spend around people, but not engaged in meaningful conversations. Oftentimes, we can keep so much of our lives surface level. And then I walk down the street and see two of my neighbors, and I'm then sobbing in their arms. So I say that I don't have a lot of connecting time, but, you know, think about, how do you connect? Do you share meals? Do you have heartfelt conversations? Do you engage in activities that allow you to connect with others? I also add, and I always add, and this is part of the cycle of courage, is connecting with God, with the divine, and what that feels like for you. Finally, activity number seven, which is an activity that I love, is time out. So we have time in, which is thinking about our thinking and our emotions. Time out is taking breaks, giving ourselves permission to relax and recharge. It's engaging in activities that bring us joy. So just as playtime, but it's also just like relaxing, listening to music, taking a walk in nature, enjoying a hobby. It really does it. Reduce our stress, improves our mood, and restores our mental energy. So that's it. Those are the seven components of a healthy mind platter for every day. And I think that we can incorporate these into our daily lives in a way that supports our well-being and promotes resilience. But here's the deal. The journey to a healthier mind is ongoing for the rest of your life. It requires commitment, yes. It's also about finding what works best for you. So, which is why I want to invite you to this week's challenge. I want you to try one aspect of the healthy mind platter for 1 week. And some of you might already have so many of these locked and loaded. Let's say you might already have a sleep schedule. You're getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. But what would that look like if you're not? Maybe you want to create a calming bedtime routine. You want to optimize your sleep environment. You want to prioritize restorative rest. For me, this is what I'm really focused on this week. And you'll hear more, like, I'm waking up and getting sunlight on my eyes first thing, a la the Huberman method or technique or protocol. I don't know. But so I'm focusing on setting a sleep schedule. Number two, engaging in physical activity. Maybe you want to dedicate 30 minutes each day to some physical movement, a workout, a dance session, a walk. Let your body move and feel the benefits of increased energy and mood. I say that. I don't know if I always have increased energy and move and mood after I exercise, but I know on the other end, after a habitual interaction with that, I do then have increased energy. Number three, carve out time for focus. So allocate a specific period each day for focused attention. You could read a book, solve, you know, like figure out something that's going to require your full attention. Maybe it's doing digits, the New York Times game that I love. It's word, like, think of things of you might write, and that could be your focus time. Number four, practice time in. You're going to set aside 10 to 15 minutes each day for prayer, for journaling, for self-awareness. It is connecting with that inner self, that your soul. Five, embrace, maybe it's your week to embrace playtime every day. You might find activities or remember activities that bring you joy. I went, I don't even want to, I mean, like a year and a half without knitting, without listening to my Audible books as much as I, you know, my 100 books a year, because I was so busy and I was so focused on keeping kids alive and literally, and, you know, doing all the things and working and balancing it all, that I decided that I didn't have time. So find something. It might be gardening. It might be painting. It might be knitting. Figure it out. You've got this. Like, I wrote down what activities are fun, and we went from there. Theo and I spend a lot of time singing to Louis Capaldi, and that is playtime. Number six is foster connections. So maybe this week you want to connect with others. You need to schedule some social activities. You want to have some heartfelt conversations, or just spend some quality time with your family. Build and nurture your relationships that really foster a sense of belonging and support. And then number seven, maybe you want to, for your timeouts, take intentional breaks. Maybe you don't do that right now. You just like head down, focus, and you're not taking breaks. I mean, even working from home, I eat from often from my desk. How are you going to relax and recharge? Find the activities that you can do for 5 minutes, for 15 minutes to bring you a sense of calm and joy. Listening to music, going for a walk, anything that helps you unwind and rejuvenate. Wildly, I am doing yoga nidra this week as part of my sleep schedule, but it's also my intentional breaks. So we're doing two for one, right? So track your progress. Tag me on social media. Tell me how it's going. Send me a DM. Reflect on how or what activity and how it impacts your mental well-being. Notice any changes, positive, negative, in between, and your mental health, knowing that it won't be like, oh, I just decided to carve out focus time and my life is dramatically changed. Remember that over time, we're going to make sure we're getting all of these ingredients from a healthy mind platter into our day. And I just want to hear how it's going. And knowing that this is a lifelong practice, it's not a 1 week challenge. We're striving to maintain that healthy mental, emotional, balanced diet. We're nourishing our minds one activity at a time to create that positive ripple effect of our lives and the lives of those around us. Let's do this together. And if you're confused about, like, if you need a reminder of those seven activities, you can go to livesofcourage.com and find on the blog post, find those listed out. I'll also have them listed out in the show notes here. And so I guess I could keep talking, but let's end today. I hope you are inspired to choose one thing. You know, I will also link to the research around this, but really, as we explore, it's not just, you know, exercising our bodies. It's a whole way of approaching our day to ensure that we're getting the essential ingredients to make our mind, our body, our heart, our soul work healthy and beautifully as we connect with ourselves, with others, and with God. So I can't wait to see you next week. I can't wait to talk to you again. I want to encourage you to take care of your mind, to nurture your well-being, and to have a great and courageous week. Thanks so much, sweet friends. I'll talk to you soon. See ya.